Well, Advent is a season of preparing. It's a season of waiting with expectation, of anticipating Christmas. Advent is four Sundays long, the four Sundays that come directly before Christmas. And this is our chance to prepare for Christmas in a way that can't be bought, in a way that can't be advertised, in a way that cannot be overplayed on the radio. This is our chance to make Christmas our own. It's our chance to create a space for something life-giving and divine. Advent is our opportunity to create room for the arrival of God's presence in our lives and in our world. For this is the Advent, the arrival of God with us. Each week of Advent has a focus. Here at Highlands, we put them in this order: hope, peace, love, and joy. It's through these lenses of hope, peace, love, and joy that we can better see all that Christmas is meant to be. I tell you, so much of Advent can be familiar. The garland and the lights and the tree, the nativity scene and the creche, the candles on the Advent wreath, the hymns and the carols, the scriptures and the stories. For those of us who have long known these elements, it's an invitation home, in a way, into the routine and the ritual we experience once again. And for those who might be newer to these traditions, it invites exploration and in curiosity and wonder. In fact, if some of these Advent symbols and Christmas ideas and words and rituals are new to you, I invite you, ask me about them. For there is meaning in everything. And not just the meaning carried forward by generations of tradition, there's also the meaning you might see in them. And I would love to talk with you about the light of a candle or the color blue or the green of the garland means for you, the stories sung and the carols that we adore. While the story of Christ's birth and the themes of hope, peace, love, and joy are ritually consistent, there is an adaptive element that invites new consideration each year. And that is our Advent theme as a congregation. It adorns our website, it's on the cover of our bulletin, and it guides our work together, hoping we might find a thematic tie that all the pieces of the season might be woven together. Now, to come up with our Advent theme, in July, the staff and I begin Christmas planning. We open the windows, turn on the ceiling fans in that hot summer July sweltering of a building with no air conditioning, and then we put on some Christmas music and we talk about the holiday. In the midst of those conversations, there's a very important, reflective, and thought-provoking moment as we have a conversation about what should our directional theme be. And for me, searching for an Advent theme all centers on the question, what will our people be feeling and be needing come December? It's a big question to ask, because a lot of life happens between July and December. And then it's a matter of even finding an answer to that question, taking all of that that tends to that feeling and that need and putting it into words that convey it succinctly. And as we sat in July wondering about the months to come, what became very tangible for all of us was the fatigue that a chaotic world has left in our souls. We were tired in July, and it's been months since then. We knew that pace would not slow down. We knew that calendars would stay busy, that the commercialization of our well-being would be in full force, and perhaps that feeling would continue to grow. What also became clear was the continuing uncertainty we live in that seems to obscure the path ahead. That important question of where do we go from here? In our personal lives, in our communal lives, shared as humanity. And as we sat at that table in July, we did not know what natural disasters or acts of violence or political drama would unfold between July and December. We knew there would be some. We just didn't know the what and the when. And yet, amidst the global and national realities, we are also so mindful of the personal struggles. The things we name aloud in prayer, the things we don't name aloud but still pray for. That inner turmoil that we all wrestle with as we experience the entirety of the human condition. the ups and downs of life together, confronting loss and grief. As we pray for loved ones in the midst of difficult transitions or hard diagnoses, as we wrestle with depression or anxiety or addiction, we know that for all of us, there are days the world feels dark. So we stand at the beginning of this season of anticipation amidst a swirl of chaos and difficult days, the reality of being human. You see, it's not because this year is somehow different. It's not that this year is the first year that might bring uncertainty or frustration or fatigue. But this is a moment where we are invited to name it, to acknowledge the anxiety and the depth of life. That naming, that honesty can be found in the story of humanity shared throughout our scriptures. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, we find a prophet speaking to people in exile, literally removed from their place of home. They were removed from the world as it was meant to be, and they were living in a state of despondence every single day. They were a people who were waiting, who were anticipating, who were hoping. They knew what was meant to be, their comfort and celebration in their own land. And they knew what they had been promised, a return home, the chance to be settled once again. And they believed, they knew in their hearts that God would make it real. And yet, it wasn't real yet. And so even in their frustration, even in their anger, even in their resignation, they had hope. In fact, amidst frustration and anger and disappointment, that is where hope exists. For hope does not coddle the comfortable. Hope strengthens the strained. You see, hope is not a wish. Hope is not a dream. Hope is not an unfounded longing. Hope is a promise. It's why we use blue for Advent, because blue is the color of hope. You think about it. After the darkest of nights, blue is the color that the sky begins to turn as the sun rises. We don't wish for the sun to rise. We don't just unfoundedly long for it to rise. We know it will come. And that is what hope is. We know it will come. And so dances a flame on the candle of hope, reminding us of what has been promised. For hope is a nurturing, sustaining fire that burns within us, built on the promise of what will be, and it will be, because the divine will shall not be overcome. That is the promise of the light shining in the darkness, that the darkness will not overcome it. In fact, Isaiah was sparking hope in his people when he wrote. I want to share with you from Isaiah chapter 35, but I want to set a context for you. There's beautiful imagery of the desert land, something the people knew because they walked upon it every day. But in this beautiful metaphor, Isaiah sets for us, the land, as it's described, is the people. This metaphor cannot be understated. The dry, parched ground is the longing and loss in the people themselves. The wilderness and the dwelling of scavengers is the displaced and persecuted feeling of a people who know the world can be better. And in the timeless nature of our scripture, the land is us as well. Listen in the poetic and prophetic words for phrases that might capture the condition of your soul in the difficult places. The prophet writes, "The desert and dry land will be glad once again. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. They will burst into bloom and rejoice with joy and singing. They will receive the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord will be seen, the splendor of God made known. The weak hands will be strengthened. The unsteady knees will be supported. Say to those who are panicking, be strong. Don't fear. Here is your God arriving with grace in and among the people, for God has come to save you. Waters will spring up in the desert. Streams will appear in the wilderness. The burning sand will become home to pools of cool water. The thirsty ground will bring forth fountains of life-giving water. The places haunted by jackals shall become a pasture, and the dry grass will become rich reeds and vibrant rushes. The Lord's ransomed ones will return and enter singing with everlasting joy upon their hearts. Happiness and joy will overwhelm them. Grief and groaning will flee away. For waters will spring up in the desert, and the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. These are words of hope. They are not empty promises. They are not wishful dreaming. These are words of promise for what will be. Because God's hope shines in the darkness and will not be overcome. And so, God's people wait. We wait amidst what is with the assurance of what will be. For what will be is the coming of God's presence in a new way, the arrival of life, the transformation of the world and our very lives. And so we wait. We look around and can so clearly see that far too much of our world has been distanced from love. Far too much of our world has been rejected when God asks for acceptance. Far too much of our world has been exiled from justice they deserve. In fact, the promises of hope have been lost amidst what all I can call is an accepting apathy of a weary and worn out people. Those who look around us and say, well, I guess this is what it is. What can be done? I guess it's not going to get any better. But we who wait will not be lost in this milieu of malaise, for we have gathered to light the candle of hope and rekindle it in our lives. For hope is not simply a candle on a wreath, but it is a light that is meant to shine in our hearts and our minds and our souls. That is why the desert and the dry land will be glad. That is why the wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the rose. For instead of chaos and darkness, we await with great hope a world in which all will be calm and all will be bright. And while we wait for the world to be calm and bright, we recognize that it can arrive in our hearts and in brief moments of our living this very day. All might be calm. All might be bright. That is the promise of hope that is ignited once again, a promise that can be fulfilled in this very moment and all of our moments to come as we wait for the rest of the world to arrive there. For we need not wait for a silent or a holy night. In fact, this season of waiting and preparing will be filled with moments of heavenly peace if we will hope for them. Moments in which all will be calm and all will be bright. A promise that can be reclaimed any time we might lose sight of it amidst the frenetic pace of the holidays or the darkness of a long night of the soul. And so we take a breath that might rekindle the flame of hope in our hearts and allow the bright and the calm to shine once again within us. As hope takes root and blossoms in our lives for the world to see. For then happiness and joy will overwhelm us. Grief and groaning will flee away, and the desert and the dry land will be glad once again. Amen.